首先，我们邀请到 KB 为我们发表 Data Platform Protocol Overview. At the beginning, we are honored to have KB, who will have a brief introduction of Data Platform Protocol Overview. Let's welcome KB.
Thank you, everyone. As she said, my name is KB, and I'm a program manager in the Data Platform Group, working on interop and protocols. Honored to be here. This is my fourth time in Taipei, and my fourth PlugFest event, where I get to share with you about protocols, interoperability, and the data platform. So the agenda for today, there's a lot to cover. Be covering SQL Server and just the data platform, you know, understanding what constitutes the overall data platform at Microsoft. I will go over at a high level some aspects of SQL Server, like the features we have available in terms of mission critical performance, insights, so that all has to do with our BI offerings, so business intelligence. And then I also cover how the platform that we have created is an ideal one for hybrid IT. So that's basically, how do you combine both your on-prem offerings with cloud offerings that Microsoft has, or how you can interoperate with those offerings that are available today. And then I will end with a high-level overview of the core protocols as is defined by the SQL Server team. And feel free to interrupt anytime if you have any questions, or if you wait till the end, I'll be happy to answer questions then. And I'm here through the end of the day, and I'll be happy to engage with you and help answer any questions that you might have either about this presentation or about SQL Server in general. So looking forward to chatting with you guys. So for those of you that were here early in the week and attended the keynote, there was something that one of my colleagues touched, which was the Cloud OS. Chris Phillips, he talked about the vision for the Cloud OS, talking about the customer, the different service providers, and what Microsoft Azure's role was in the Cloud OS. So at the core, we want to provide this consistent platform. And when we look at the key trends across infrastructure, data platform, and applications, we want to deliver these consistent platforms to the customers to enable them to transform the data center, empower people-centric IT, unlock insights on any data, and enable modern business apps. And the benefits the customers gain with a consistent platform is a common development methodologies and APIs, management, so when you think of System Center or SQL Server Management Studios, data platform in itself, identity, so Active Directory, and then virtualization as well. So if we look at this, we'll see that SQL Server, over the years, has matured into a product that enables mission-critical performance, faster insights from any data, and is building its muscle as a platform for hybrid cloud. And the innovations that we provide in memory technologies across all the database workloads, so not just OLTP, so online transaction processing, but also in the rich BI stack that we have available, reporting services and analysis services, and also the innovations that we are driving towards in the hybrid cloud. And I'll dive deep into all of these later on. There's a lot of content to go through today, but I'll try my best to explain how we're evolving into becoming this robust data platform. So the key trends, why in-memory right now is a viable solution is most mission-critical workloads are focusing on in-memory to enable faster performance and efficiency. And one of the key enablers has been a dramatic drop in price for memory. And another trend that we're seeing is adoption for cloud. A lot of people are thinking about moving to the cloud or exploring about moving to the cloud. And as you can see from that statistic that I have on the slide, according to IDC, who's done some research, they could be well over $1.1 trillion enabled by cloud innovation this year. And another trend that we're observing is the data explosion. So many different types of data types are coming online, and we're getting into the zettabytes as far as, you know, IDC's research has shown. And businesses will need to be able to understand what type of trends the data sets, both internal and external, are showing them. So how many of you here, you know, use SQL Server? Just a show of hands, how many people here use SQL Server? That's good, okay. So most of you are aware of, you know, all the different versions that we have out there. So currently we have the SQL Server 2014. And as you see from this graphic over here, this incremental value that we've been adding to the product. And also you'll see that the interoperability surface area has grown too, as we try to integrate it with not just more products in Microsoft, but also products externally. So that's where you and I can have a discussion on, you know, how can you interop with us. As you can see, starting in 2008 R2, there was strong integration with, you know, Office, and that's where we delivered PowerPivot. Most of you were here yesterday and the day before, and saw presentations on PowerPivot, SharePoint, and another thing is master data services. So that's, you know, how do you ensure that you have clean data in your environment. And as you can see, in 2012, there's a lot of changes that we made to, you know, high availability and disaster recovery. We added some more BI functionality in terms of PowerView. And then the key thing too here is we added some cloud connectivity. So that's what we'll talk more about, you know, what the hybrid model is for SQL Server going forward. So SQL Server's mission is to deliver customers with mission-critical performance, and especially those that have demanding database applications, whether it's OLTP, so online transaction processing, or data warehousing. And through these mission-critical workloads that customers have, we need to enable better performance, security, scalability, and high availability as well. And when it comes to business intelligence, we want to be able to deliver faster insights to any type of data, big data or small data, and most importantly, to deliver BI in a easy, consumable manner through the tools we have available like Excel or some of the add-ins we have through reporting services. And finally, but not least, it's all about delivering a platform for a hybrid cloud. As enterprises, customers are faced with growing mandates, it's important to enable them to back up their data securely, not just on-prem, but off-prem through the cloud solutions that we have currently as part of the Azure offerings. So mission-critical performance. As I said earlier, the key capabilities at a high level when it comes to in-memory is we need to be able to provide customers with a way to access the hot data in an efficient and easy manner. And that's where in-memory comes into play. And another thing too, SQL Server over the years has been ranked as one of the most secure database packages out there, with fewer vulnerabilities than most other competitors out there. And then mission critical performance is all about the high nines, so 99.999, you know, availability. And one of the features that we did develop in SQL Server 2012 and that we improved in 2014 was always on feature. So that's enabling high availability and disaster recovery. So fast performance for real-time updates. So I will go over an example here that shows how a customer is utilizing SQL Server's mission critical performance capabilities. The customer is a SSAS, so a software as a service provider, and they provide decisions to customers out there about you know, online retail. And they had to improve performance without increasing infrastructure costs. So they took advantage of this in-memory OLTP capability without refreshing their hardware. This is just keeping all the, you know, most actively accessed data in memory. And this increased the throughput of the system. As you can see, before it was a daily asynchronous sync. And sometimes what that resulted in was the customer could purchase something, but the inventory behind the scenes wasn't updated in time. So a request would be sent and wouldn't really match what was in inventory. And this resulted in a lot of customer issues. But with this near real-time sync, where a lot of, you know, analysis was done on the type of product that customers were accessing on a frequent basis, that was stored in memory and enabled customers to get near real-time results on the data catalog that was available in your system. So in memory, and the unique thing about our in-memory offering is it's built into the core databases. It's not a separate solution out there. And it all depends on where, you know, the customer's business logic is placed. If it's, most of it is placed in the database by stored procedures. Sorry about that. That was a minor issue that we had to deal with. So where was I? We're talking about the in-memory capabilities that SQL has today. So I was talking about where the business logic sat. If the business, most of the business logic was in the database by stored procedures, you could really leverage this in-memory feature to increase your throughput and performance. And these in-memory capabilities are across all workloads, not just transaction processing, but BI and data warehousing as well. And the way this is enabled is through what we call column store, and it allows greater data compression. And another feature too is extended paging to solid state drives from your buffer pools. And that just improves overall performance and querying capabilities that your applications have. So again, here is an example of a customer that took advantage of the in-memory capabilities. Initially, it was built without in-memory, and a lot of requests to the system. It's a gaming application, over 15,000 requests to the gaming system. And what was done was they analyzed exactly which tables, where the business logic was, and through that analysis, they were able to put the actively accessed data and actively accessed stored procedures and business logic into these in-memory databases. And this resulted in, you know, over a 10x increase in performance with this in-memory solution. Security. I won't spend too much time with this. You have a question?
Yeah. With this in-memory feature enabled, wouldn't the hardware requirement also be, wouldn't you require better hardware as well?
I mean,
you're putting like a number of tables into the memory, so that would consume a lot of memory, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, it's, so I said it goes back to the way your logic was designed and identifying your, you know, the most actively accessed. You're not going to put all your data in there. You know, you have to analyze and figure out, okay, if it's a certain type of product that's, you know, being purchased on a regular basis in a certain season, then you figure out a way to get that. So that's your hot data. And of course, if you're running on some legacy server hardware, then of course, I mean, maybe the performance won't be as as dramatic as something a little bit more modern. But as far as some of the algorithms you have behind the scenes and how it deals with compression and make you effectively identify the type of data that needs to be stored there, then you will see some performance increase. But if most of your business logic is outside of the database, then that's more of a challenge. You may not see as much, even with improved hardware.
So when they're stored in the memory, they're actually, they're also compressed?
Yes, yes.
All right.
So security, so here, you know, what we've done in the latest version is really separating the database administrator role from the system administrator role, and also some other key features have to do with data encryption. And this is becoming more important in multi-tenant environments like the cloud, where you want your data to be as secure as possible. And encryption key management allows you to store that key not in the same database as where your data is, but in another database. So that, you know, improves security overall. So moving on to another aspect of it being a mission critical system is scalability. And SQL is able to leverage some of the scalability features that Windows Server has. So scaling compute, it's not only able to scale for mission-critical transaction processing databases, it can also scale for warehousing applications, and both in a physical environment and in a virtual environment. You can scale with network virtualization capabilities as well. So basically what this means is moving one workload from one data center to another data center is fairly simple. It's something that you can do without changing the underlying network architecture. And then a feature in Windows Server, which is a NIC teaming feature, allows you to assign maximum and minimum bandwidth criteria to improve network quality of service. And you can also virtualize storage and assign pieces to various workloads, create tiers, and keep the hot data in the less utilized tiers. And a feature that we have available too is Resource Governor. So that is just kind of like the Windows Server method of managing servers is it provides tiering at the SQL Server instance level layer. High availability. So this is of great importance to customers with mission-critical workloads. And in 2012, the feature Always On, which provides the necessary nines, was released. When it comes to increased availability, you're talking about, failing over to multiple databases, both manual and automatically. And now, in SQL, you can have up to 8 secondary replicas if needed. And you can offload more BI and reporting to additional secondaries if needed. And the diagram here shows where there is a synchronous and an asynchronous replica, which can be used as both secondaries for greater high availability. And also, SQL now supports Windows Server cluster shared volume, which allows you to basically provide enterprise level high availability without purchasing expensive hardware like a SAN. And then there's wizards that now allow DBAs or anyone who's managing your SQL Server environment to easily create those replicas, both on-prem or off-prem. And the way this can be done is either through familiar tools like SSAS, SSMS, or System Center. 10 minutes, so I have to go fast. So moving on to insights. This is all about easy access to data using powerful and familiar tools like Excel, and producing in such a way that it's consumable for not just a power user, but someone with limited knowledge about data mining or creating tabular models. And this is all done within Excel through Power Pivot, through Power View, and also there's some SharePoint integrations that you create your rich reports. Those can then be posted onto SharePoint. So here, going over another quick example, which basically shows a very innovative solution that helps identify epidemics. You know, it's a healthcare solution that uses our BI stack. It's a hybrid cloud solution built with BI tools based on Microsoft SQL Server, Windows Server, Windows Azure HD Insight, and SharePoint, and combines both traditional data sources with data sources that weren't previously tapped, like, for example, handwritten notes. And it uses Azure's natural language processing capabilities, along with HD Insight, to process big data and help, you know, healthcare professionals identify key trends, like identify, you know, if there's a certain disease, like if patients are coming into a, you know, hospital with certain type of disease, they, you know, a doctor will write the notes, these are uploaded without, then goes through our machine learning systems together with Hadoop file management, and then it's then presented to the doctors either through a data mart on key trends out there in the hospital that they're managing. I won't spend too much time on this because this was covered yesterday or 2 days ago by the office team. It's just basically showing how you can easily access big data and small data internally, externally, through various feeds such as OData, Hadoop, Marketplace, and you can gain insights from whatever data, whether it's structured or unstructured, push those through HD Insight, through our machine learning services out there in Azure, and it makes sense out of it. And another thing too that I can mention here is SQL Server now has some data warehouse capabilities called Polybase that will dramatically simplify combining non-relational data and relational data for analysis. So you can rapidly query massive data sets without having to do some expensive map reduce code on your big data sets. Okay, so as you can see, there's various data sources that you can use to get data from tools that you use, databases that you use, the support for, you know, Facebook, Marketplace, OData, Hadoop, Oracle, MySQL, PostgreSQL, Windows Active Directory, Access, XML, JSON, etc. And Power BI, the cool thing about Power BI too is, you know, it's Power BI for Office 365, so this is basically whatever you're able to do with Power BI, so for your Power Pivot, Power Query, Power View, you can take that into the cloud, discover, analyze, share, find reports, ask questions, you know, that's Q&A, that's basically Power Query, and present it in a rich manner that then can be shared amongst your peers in your IT environment. So as you can see, this is a complete BI platform with Power Pivot, a familiar tool in Excel that enables users to create applications either for small groups or themselves and transform them into powerful enterprise-grade solutions. You can import Power Pivot models and transfer them to SQL analysis services to be managed professionally by IT. You can simplify the deployment model using the BI semantic model, which is same across analysis services, reporting services, etc. You can trust the credibility and consistency of your data through data quality services, master data services, integration services. And finally, you can provide a central hub that shows the single truth, you know, data using master data services. So now that we've looked at the various workloads, the online transaction processing workload, the data warehousing workload, the next workload or next scenarios that actually we're going to cover is the platform for hybrid cloud. And I think this is a pretty important one and exciting one because it shows how it enables new hybrid scenarios for your database application. So not just managing your database application on-prem, figure out ways to manage them off-prem in the cloud, or both in on-prem and in the cloud. So SQL Server enables a new hybrid model for disaster recovery. So if you have a database on-prem and you want to be able to create a replica, you don't necessarily have to create the replica in your environment, you know, on-prem. We have a solution where you can create the replica in the cloud, and that just is good for, you know, disaster recovery capabilities, and in itself too, it reduces cost overall because you know, the replica that's created is in the cloud and someone else is managing if it's software as a service. And it makes it much easier for DBAs. So DBAs that have been managing on-prem SQL servers can easily ramp up and manage, you know, off-prem cloud SQL servers. So moving along quickly, this is another quick example I'll go over that basically shows how a company adopted SQL database. The problem was they wanted to deal with massively variable demand. They sell tickets, and if, for example, a concert were just came online and they wanted to sell these tickets, they had to deal with all this load coming from people, and they, you know, their web servers would time out, etc., and had all these challenges. So what they did was the on-prem instance of SQL collect all the credit card and processing information, while the second instance that was in the cloud was used for dynamic scalability. So whenever there was variable demand, could always fall over into the additional, you know, server space that they had and use the off-prem cloud instance to handle dynamic scalability. And what this did was, it resulted in faster throughput, which also means increased revenue. So I quickly talked about this. This is the first, you know, cloud hybrid scenario, the ability to back up your on-prem SQL server to off-prem in an easy and efficient manner. And it also provides what we call geo-replication. So if you want to replicate it to several data centers across the world, that's possible too. And you can define a backup policy at the object level, at the instance level, on the different items that you need to be backed up, and also specify where they need to be backed up. For example, if you have one, a data center here, and you want to back it up in a data center in Australia, something you could as well. So now the scenario is improving the RTO, so recovery time object, and better RTO recovery performance object over the backup with backable for cloud for high availability by adding asynchronous replicas to virtual machines. And an example of this is, you know, you could have your transaction processing system on-prem handle a bunch of different transactions, and you could set up a synchronous replica. So as soon as a record is submitted, it'll be asynchronously committed to the replica that's off-prem in the cloud environment. Okay? Let's see. So this is just about extending your on-prem applications to take advantage of these off-prem cloud capabilities. So you could have an application that's on-prem, like a grocery store that has its transaction processing in-house, and then could have an off-prem cloud solution for its online version of that grocery. And then we could do syncs between, you know, the data that's stored in both databases to ensure that the inventory that's being shown to the users is accurate, regardless of whether the data is on-prem or off-prem. So syncing both of them. And it's an easy ramp onto cloud. A lot of the tools are in Management Studio. You could use a cloud migration wizard, and this would just simplify the adoption of cloud for our customers. So as you see, it's a complete and consistent data platform, which provides mission critical capabilities, BI analytics for faster insights, data management and processing, and really solid infrastructure for scalability virtualization, security and identity, AD, and quality of service as well. So in interest of time, I'll quickly go over 5 minutes and quickly go over this. So SQL Server protocols. So this is this quick system overview of the core platform protocols that are defined by the SQL Server team. So most of you that work with SQL Server know that the core platform protocols are in the following areas. Database engine, that's the heart, you know, of SQL Server. Analysis services for all your BI, you know, and reporting. And the reporting services too, which takes a lot of the data from analysis service or even from engine and puts it in a rich format for users to make sense of, you know, of the data that's in their system. Master data services, so that's ensuring that your data is the truth, you know, so everyone in your organization, so you have an HR system that has everyone's date of birth, it has people's salary, you want it to be accurate, you want one record, so that all other systems that are leveraging that that particular application for that data as a data source will get the right information from it. And then the final one is complex event processing. So this has to do with multiple streams of data coming in, either sensor data, not necessarily machine learning, but just a lot of data coming in. Algorithms you know, run on that data to find patterns. And if there's any patterns that are out of the ordinary, the user's alerted. So it could be manufacturing data, it could be sensor data coming in for weather, and all those kinds of things where you just have a ton of data coming in at one time. So the functional architecture of how everything comes together in SQL Server is, as I said, the database engine. And if you have database applications or web service applications that you want to communicate to SQL to the engine, how that's done is primarily through the TDS protocol. And the TDS protocol is implemented using client access libraries in ADO.NET, SNAC, MDAC, JDBC, and SOAP. So you could always write your own, you know, version of TDS if you want to interoperate directly, but there will be interop internally, or there are a lot of customers interop with the engine, and TDS is through the client access libraries that we have over here, and they are available and maintained and available for download on our various sites. Analysis services, so you want to create an app that, for example, uses multidimensional models, and you want to present that in such a way that customers will be able to do some data mining on that result set. It uses SSAS protocol, so SQL Server Analysis Services protocol, to communicate with the analysis services server, and all that data will have to be stored somewhere. It has to be stored in the engine, and for it to talk to the engine, it talks TDS, which then is implemented using the various client libraries that I described earlier. Reporting services, pretty much the same as you're noticing. You have two types of applications, either management type of applications, or, you know, applications such as those that, you know, you want to present data to users. There's a set of protocols, reporting services protocols, mostly web service API protocols that allow you to communicate with the server. For example, if you're creating objects or defining a report layout, or if the server wants to talk back to the client, there's certain protocols that provide information such as, you know, the different objects that need to be displayed on the screen, the size of the report, etc. And again, reporting services does talk to the database engine using TDS, and there's a client library available that allows you to communicate directly from the analysis services client to report server and vice versa. The master data services, same type of thing, the MDS protocols, which again are SOAP-based protocols, those talk to TDS via client access libraries, and then ultimately the data is stored in the engine. So finally, data portability. So what is data portability? Data portability is a mechanism whereby users can extract the user-created data from SQL Server and export that to some other third-party system. the documents are available on open specifications, and they start with ms-dp star, and the data portability template mostly is used, and it covers scenarios such as import-export. So a quick example here is your SQL Server database. You have vendor database, say you're migrating to some other, let's say MySQL or something. You want to export your data. There's some utilities that we have available, for example, like BCP, the bulk copy utility, the results in a file, and you can import that file into your system. Like I said, there was a lot to cover today, but that's SQL Server and protocol. Happy to chat with you guys later. I don't know if anyone has questions, but I'm available all day and happy to chat with you to learn more, if you want to learn more about SQL itself, cloud, or the protocol. Any questions?
Thanks for KB's wonderful speech. Thank you. 感谢 KB 的精彩演说。